ॐ शुक्लां भरदरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ So last week we started studying the names of Lord Vishnu, where we have seen about 17 namas so far. The last nama we saw was Akshara. We started with Vishwam. Vishwam, Vishnurva Shaktaro, Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu, Bhuta Krit Bhuta Bhavo, Bhutatma, Bhuta Bhavanaha. That is the first shloka. And then he gave the second shloka where he said, Bhutatma Paramatma cha Muktanam Paramagatihi Avyaya Purusha Shakshi Kshetrajnokshara Eva cha. So, Kshetrajna Akshara. These are the two last namas we saw. Kshetrajna means the knower of the field. Kshetra means the field. Kshetrajna means the knower of the field. In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled as Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga. So, Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga means the distinction of yoga of distinction between the field and the knower of the field. Field meaning the body, mind, intellect, everything comes under the field. And the Purusha, the pure consciousness that enlivens the field, when it is referred with reference to the field, it's called Kshetrajna. So, therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 13, it says, Kshetrajnam chapimam vitti sarva kshetreshu bharata. I am that one kshetrajna in all the various kshetras. So that kshetrajna, the pure consciousness, referred from the point of view of the kshetra field. It's called kshetrajna. And that is one nama. And then the next one is akshara. Kshara, akshara, uttama purusha. Again we have studied in the Bhagavad Gita. Kshara means perishable. Akshara means imperishable. So, the perishable aspect from one different angle, that is also nothing but Vishnu. But the imperishable reality pervades the perishable aspect. The perishable aspect is the form and the name. The form and the name is the perishable aspect. The imperishable is the Atma. So, therefore, that imperishable Atma in every being is nothing but the reality, which is one nama of Vishnu. It was the last nama we saw. So let's go to next shloka. Let's chant next shloka. Yogo yoga vidam neta pradana purusheshwaraha narasimha vapushriman keshava purushottamaha. Yogo yoga vidam neta pradana purusheshwaraha narasimha vapushriman keshava purushottamaha. Yogaha. Yogaha is one nama of the Lord given here. Yogo. Yoga means the union. The realization of oneness of the individual and the Supreme Spirit by keeping the senses under control and cognizing with the mind, the pure consciousness, called yoga. Vishnu is yoga because he is to be reached by means of it. So in other words, why the nama yoga given to Lord Vishnu here is because when you say yoga, what is yoga? Yoga is integration of the body, mind, intellect and control of it to attain oneness with Brahman. And that whole thing is called yoga. And therefore, Mahavishnu is known as yoga. Yoga comes from the root yuj, which means to unite. So when you unite with the Atma, you realize your true nature, and that is Mahavishnu. So the oneness who is to be known or realized through yoga. Hence, one of his name itself is Yogaha. Yoga. Yoga Vidam Neta. Yoga Vidam Neta is the next nama. Nama number 19. the leader of those who know yoga, those who question, inquire, and acquire yoga are called the knowers of yoga. And he is called as Yoga Vidam Neta, meaning the leader of such people, because he takes care of the concerns of those people. In the 9th chapter, verse 22, he beautifully, Sri Krishna says, I think somebody's mic is on. There he says, I give you both yoga and shema. Ananya shintayantomam yejana paryupasate tesha nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam pahamya. So those who are able to control their senses and the mind, I take care of their needs. So I am their leader. I take care of their life. I give them what is needed. I give them that energy to continue in the path, and I give them the results as per their efforts. Therefore, I am Yoga Vidam Neta. And then, Pradana Purusha Ishwaraha. Pradana Purusha Ishwara means the Lord of both Pradana and Purusha. Pradana means Prakriti. Purusha is the pure consciousness functioning in the individual. So Pradana, Prakriti or Maya, and Purusha, the individual self, the Jiva. He says, I am the Lord of both. So I am beyond both. See, Purusha means Puri. Puri means city. The Isha who lives in the Puri is called Purusha. Puri Kshetre Purusha. One who lives in the Puri. One who lives in the Puri means he's not that he is trapped or bound by the city, as it were bound, not really bound. So that Purusha, the Jiva, the reflected consciousness, and Prakriti, the matter, the Maya, both, for both he says, I am the leader, I am the Lord. Pradana Purusha Ishvara. Lord. Lord means from me the matter has come and the jiva has come. Very simple. Wherever there is subtle matter, the reflected consciousness comes, called jiva comes. Sunlight falls on all the objects, but in the reflecting mediums, the reflected sun manifests. So similarly, in the subtle body, the jiva manifests, and this whole world is nothing but matter. So both the matter and the jiva has come from Lord Ishvara. Therefore, I am Pradana Purusha Ishvara. The cause of the entire universe, both the subtle and the gross. So Purusha indicates the individual, and Pradana talks about the Maya or Prakriti. So both have come from me. I am there. Lord. Therefore, is called as Pradana Purusha Ishvara. Narasimha Vapuhu, 21st Nama. Narasimha Vapuhu. One whose form is half human and half lion. This is referring to the avatara, Narasimha avatara taken by Mahavishnu to protect Prahlada and destroy Hiranya Kashipu. So Narasimha Vapuhu means he who has the form of man, lion. Narasimha. Nara means man. Simha means lion. So his limbs are as those of a man and a lion combined. Meaning what? All these species which has manifested is actually manifested from the Brahman. And Narasimha is the name referring to Lord Narasimha, the avatara, who took avatara to protect dharma, to destroy the adharmic Hiranyakashipu and protect the dharmic Prahlada. So that's what Narasimha Vapuhu, the form of man and lion. See, in other words, in us, the animal can refer to the emotions. Man can refer to the intellect. So it is that pure consciousness which has become both the emotions and the intellect and is also beyond. Therefore, Narasimha Vapuhu. Then Sriman. Sri means Lakshmi. Lakshmi eternally abides on his chest. One who is always with Sri. That's what it means. Mother Sri, Mother Lakshmi always resides on his chest. So the place where Sri resides, another Nama comes later on. It's called Srinivasa. All means the same. So Sriman, Lakshmi, Sri Lakshmi eternally abides on his chest. In other words, earlier he talked about Lord as Narasimha, frightening form. Immediately he says, Shri, Shriman, means what? Beautiful. That's what it is. So though he also has that form, he also has taken that form, he is really beautiful. Shri, Shriman. Then the next one, Keshavaha. Keshava is the 23rd Nama. Kesha means hair. Va, beautiful. So to praise one who has beautiful Kesha, hair. That is one way of looking at it. Also another meaning is Ka means Brahma, A means Vishnu, Isha means Rudra. So the Mahavishnu is both, is all Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. All put together, Trimutis is referred by Keshava. Also, Keshava means Keshini Sudana, one who destroyed the demon Kesin. So therefore, is called Keshava. So all these are different ways of explaining that Nama Keshava. You can take that meaning, one who destroyed the demon Kesin. See, in other words, when the awareness increases in us, all the negativities go away. That's why when Swami Vivekananda was asked by somebody, what did you gain from coming to spirituality? You know, coming into spirituality, what did you really gain? Somebody asked him. He said, I don't know. I can't list out what all I gained, but I can list out what all I lost. He said, I lost anger. I lost greed. I lost jealousy. I lost fear. So, these negativities go away from us. Kesini Sudana. There is enough dirt in each one of us. We have to save time. We are wasting time talking about the ill of others, which may be our perception. It may not be really speaking a bad evil tendency in the others. We think they have an evil tendency. They go on talking about as if we are all avatars. See, there is so much dirt inside us. Why can't we look into that and cleanse us? Why can't we say, okay, am I a better person compared to yesterday? Or compared to this morning? Am I a better person now? How can I be even better this evening compared to now? Or am I already clean, so clean that I can sit and talk about others? So therefore, Keshava. Keshava means the more and more the light of consciousness is lit in us. And we start identifying with Vishnu in us. Slowly all the demonic qualities go. Aggrandizing. Destroying. You know. I was telling last week, Shweta sent me a message saying, watch this documentary if you have time. I did watch that documentary. It was in that Apple TV. That called the year earth changed. It's about 45 minutes. How the documentary nicely is presented, and he says how we have taken over the earth from the animals and plants and everything. Literally we have taken over. Not just the land, the sea, the space. Everything is taken away. And once this, corona came and lockdown and everything was announced, we withdrew. Human beings withdrew from the, ocean, from the space, from the land. When we started with drawing, how it helps the other species to thrive and multiply. He beautifully presents it in the document. So, on what basis we do this? Simply because we are a little more conscious and we can think. And the fact that we think, we have more responsibility actually. We have more responsibility. Like in the movie Titanic, the ship sinks. Initially, the captain is so arrogant, he says, this ship will never sink. And in its very first voyage, it sinks. But later on, when the ship sinks, he doesn't get out of the ship first. He tries to help everybody, he sends them out. And then he actually drowns finally. So, a leader has more responsibility. You understand? The leader has more responsibility. But as the leaders of our leader of all other species, human being should be more responsible. But human being is the highly responsible creatures. Like in South India, one Swami by name, Swami Chandrasekharendra Saraswati was there. He lived more than 100 years and he attained Mahasamadhi. He has written a book in Tamil called Devatin Kural. In English, it's come out as Voice of God. In that, he beautifully says, the downfall of Brahmins and the whole thing, the cause is Brahmins only. He beautifully says that. See, the one who has to think, the responsibility of Shudras, Vaishyas and Kshatriyas is there in Brahmin. And just because one is able to think better, if one thinks selfishly, it brings down the whole lot. This one, as human beings also, we have done with this planet, this entire universe. So Keshava, the more and more a person turns spiritual, the more and more one becomes aware, all the negativities goes away. So spirituality is not about taking up. It is about giving up. It's about giving up in the sense, merely because you take up the knowledge, not taking up the material world. When I said it's not about taking up means, not taking up the material world. You just take the knowledge and the attachment to the material world reduces. And when the attachment reduces, your efficiency increases. And when your efficiency increases, the material world will be more in you. Not because you want it. This is the irony of life. When you want it, it won't be with you. When you drop it, it will be with you. This is the funny part. The way to gain anything is to lose it. But to be able to practice this, you should understand what discussion is going on right now. It's not easy. If you rise above, it will follow you. If you go behind it, it will leave you. As simple as that, but it's so difficult for people. So Keshava, Kesini, Sudana, one who has destroyed a demon, Kesin, Keshava. And Purushottama, 24th Nama. Purusha Uttama. The Purusha referred with reference to this body, the city of nine gates, bears the pure consciousness which is beyond this body. The causal, the subtle and gross body. That's called Uttama Purusha. Uttama Purusha Svanyaha. In the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter is called Purushottama Yoga. Yoga of Supreme Brahman, Supreme Being. That's what Purushottama means. Purusha Uttama, Supreme Being. Why is called Supreme? See, when you say somebody is Supreme, means they don't come under any law. Law is subservient to them. They are not subservient to the law. They are above law. Above law doesn't mean they can do anything they want. Here, above law in the sense, supreme, the sense beyond this universe, not controlled by Maya, rather controlling Maya and pervading beyond. Therefore, Uttama Purusha, supreme self, supreme being. That's what it means. The highest spirit, the perishable and the imperishable, both are relative. See, you talk about imperishable. The moment you say imperishable means what? You will understand imperishable with reference to perishable only. But Brahman is beyond perishable and imperishable. So he says, I am beyond perishable and imperishable. Therefore, I am called Uttama Purusha. So seven namas are given in this shloka. Yoga, Yoga Vidam Neta, Pradhana Purusha Ishvara, Narasimha Vapuhu, Sriman, Keshava, Purushottama, Uttama Purusha. Now this Uttama Purusha, understand it like this. Akshara and then Akshara and then Uttama Purusha. Kshara means the perishable word. Akshara means the imperishable. Uttama Purusha is beyond Kshara and Akshara. So when there is already a Nama called Akshara, why then we have to specifically talk about Uttama Purusha or Purushottama? For that, Swamiji beautifully explains in his commentary in Bhagavad Gita. He says, a child that is born and brought up in the 150th floor of a tall building in US, New York, and from childhood, the child is born with handicapped child, cannot walk. So the child has been growing up there only, not come down at all, let's say. And after a few years, the child asks, what is mud or sand? From the 150th floor, what will you do? You will take a flower pot or something from the balcony and say, this pot is clay or mud. The child understands that form is mud. So you say, no, this form is not mud. This form is perishable, and you break that form, and the remaining you show and say, this remaining which is indestructible, which is imperishable, that is mud, that is clay. Now the child's understanding of the clay is always with reference to the form now. So therefore you say, no, the clay is not to be understood always with reference to these forms only. Clay exists independent of these forms, and vast existence of clay is there. Whereas the form is not vast. So therefore, it is Kshara, the perishable form, and it is Akshara, the imperishable, behind the form, and it is Uttama Purusha, beyond the Kshara and Uttama Purusha. It is the highest spirit. Called Uttama Purusha. Beautiful Nama. Let's get on to the next shloka. Sarva Sarva Shivastanu Bhuta Dinidiravyayaha Sambhavo Bhavano Bartha Prabhava Praburishwaraha Sarva Sarva Shivastanu Bhuta Dinidiravyayaha Sambhavo Bhavano Bartha Prabhava Praburishwaraha Sarvaha. Now Sarvaha is a small word. Sarva. But what it means? All. Sarva means all. It includes everything. He who is the all in this world. He is the origin, middle and the end of all beings. Whether existent or non-existent. And he at all times cognizes all. It's called Sarva. At all times, he is the one who is enlivening both the matter and the jiva. Therefore, Sarvaha. simple nama. Sarva. Sarva means all. All means it includes everything. Body, mind, intellect, all the other species, anything that you can conceive of. One of the simple nama sarva, but it includes everything. See, like you take the example of ocean and waves. You can give a name for water as sarva. Thus, everything in water is nothing but water only. Whether it is waves or froth and foam, bubbles, everything is nothing but water. Sarva. These are all different permutation, combination, modifications. But essentially, it is nothing but Vishnu. Sarvaha. Now, if you understand this nama sarva, will you hate? Will you hate anybody? Because everybody and anything in this universe is Vishnu. Why will you hate it? No. I am Bhakta of Mahavishnu, but I hate these things. Then you have not understood Mahavishnu. Sarvaha. Sarva means everything. Sarvaha. Sarva, sarva. Means auspicious one. The most auspicious is the pure consciousness because there is nothing impure in it. There is no mixture. Also, sarva means the withdrawer. At the time of pralaya, he withdraws all beings at the time of pralaya. Therefore, it's called sarva. Different meanings are there. One who gives auspiciousness to those who hear of him is one explanation given. The more you study and understand about Brahman, the more pure you become. This is the beauty. See, there are certain people, when you move around with them, they will make you pure. In front of them, your selfishness, you will become aware. And you'll say how cheaply I am behaving. How graciously they are behaving. See, when Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, he's saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. If somebody functions like that, when you are relating with them, you will instantly see the stupidity and the cheapness with which we are functioning. And the moment you see that, you will change. See, I'll give you one simple example. In Mahabharata, Indra goes, because Indra's son is Arjuna, and he knows Karna will kill Arjuna. And Karna has to be made weak. So Indra goes as a Brahmana early in the morning and goes to ask something of Karna. And anybody asks anything to Karna, he will give. This they know. So he wants to go and ask for his kavach and kundal. Because if as long as he has that kavach and kundal with which he is born, he cannot be killed. So therefore he goes. And Karna is the son of Surya Bhagavan. Surya Bhagavan had come in his dream the previous night and tells him that tomorrow Indra will come and ask for this. Don't give. Next day morning, Indra comes as Brahmana and asks for kavach and kundal. And he immediately gives and says, I know you are Indra. You have come to ask of this kavach and kundal. Because with this, your son may not be able to kill me. So to protect your son and make me weak, you have asked for this, but still I'll give you. I know you are Indra. And Indra says, knowing that I am Indra, you are still giving it to me. He was so inspired. And what does he do? He gives his thunderbolt. Indra's thunderbolt, if it is hurled against somebody, it will kill them. That's the power it has. So he came to protect his son. But while going, he gets so inspired by Karna and he gives him the thunderbolt without even his asking. So what I'm trying to tell is, this nama auspicious sarva, the moment you study, listen, reflect on these namas, you become pure. Mechanically, if you study, you know, sarva, sarva, sarasthano, if you start chanting like that, nothing will happen. But if you really understand what these namas are, each nama is capable of cleansing us. That's why I said, all these practices that they have, Vishnu Sahasranama, Lalita Sahasranama, whatever it is, these are all giving a bath to our mind. The more and more a person gets into this, they have no choice but to become pure. So, Sarvaha, one who gives auspiciousness to those who hear often. And Shivaha, one who is eternally pure. Shiva, the good. See, pure consciousness is not a substance. There is no substance added to it. It is pure. It has no qualities. It's beyond gunas. It's even beyond sattva. It's not just beyond rajas and tamas. It's even beyond sattva. Therefore, it's pure. And here, the interesting thing is, we are studying Vishnu Sahasranama. And what is the Nama? Shivaha. So, Shiva and Vishnu both are one and the same. Those who do not know this, they keep fighting. So, there is no difference between Shiva and Vishnu and all this. It's all in our head only. He is Brahman. He is Shiva. He is the Upanishad. Sat Brahma, Sat Shiva. He is the Upanishad. He is Brahman, he is Shiva. Shiva means pure consciousness. Auspiciousness. There is nothing else other than the pure consciousness. So it's pure. Advaita. Dva means two. Advaya means non-dual. There is no second. One without the second. One without the second means only when the second is there, some impurity comes and attaches. Then there is nobody else. What impurity? Therefore, good, auspicious, eternally pure Shiva. Stanuhu. Stanuhu means immovable. Stanuhu. Immovable. The pure consciousness doesn't move. See, movement is possible only for something that is not all pervading. From a place where you are to a place where you are not, you can move. But if you are everywhere, how can you move? So, Stanuhu means one who is immovable. So, it's permanent, immovable, fixed, the truth that remains firm and motionless. That's what it means, motionless, the ancient one, without any second, any movement. There is no movement. There is no activity. Movement means thoughts are moving. See, what is happening is, like when you see, relatively speaking, the moon is not moving, but the clouds are moving. But when the clouds are moving, it appears as if the moon is moving. Similarly, our thoughts are moving. And when our thoughts are moving, it appears the Atma, the I, am moving. But I am not moving. I am immovable. This is what we studied in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. beautifully he says, one must see the Atma in Anatma. Akarta in Karma. Karma in Akarma. Beautifully he says that in the Bhagavad Gita. So what is happening is, the waves are moving. The sun is not moving. But when the sun is reflected, reflected sun seems to be moving. No? The waves that are moving, the clouds that are moving, moon doesn't move. So our thoughts, the minds are moving. When the mind stops moving, we can realize the self. Stanuhu. So you have to become immovable. So as long as you are rajasically running around, not possible to realize the self. Constantly running around. You cannot. The thoughts, when they reduce, and finally when the thoughts become still, in the still mind, you can capture the Atma. Capture the Atma means what? You can realize the Atma. You can't really capture the Atma. It's not, an object for it to be captured. So nobody can capture the Atma. Capture the Atma means realize the self. That sense. Tanuhu. So if you are going on moving means, we are not talking about physical movement. We are talking about mental. The mind is incapable of being in one place. Constantly running. HIA, OHIA, this thing, that thing. And a person who is too rajasic, impossible to realize the thing. And you will also misunderstand that you are moving constantly. You are actually moving. Nothing is happening to you. It's all the creation of your thoughts. All the creation of your thoughts. But even to understand this, you need to become relatively still to reflect and understand what is trying to say. Stanuhu. Next nama is Bhuta Adi. Bhuta Adi. Adi means the source. Because Bhuta means the five elements. The source of the five elements. Bhuta Adi. Also Bhuta means beings. The source of all these beings. From Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha comes. Hiranyagarbha means the pure elements. Then from the pure elements, the gross elements come about. And the mixture of gross elements bring about the beings, all species. Our body is nothing but what? Five elements. Space, air, fire, water, earth. So this body is made up of these five elements. This entire universe is nothing but five elements. And this entire universe has come from him. Therefore, it's called Bhutadi. And the next one is Nidhihi. Nidhihi means the resting place. And so it means the imperishable treasure. During Pralaya, when the dissolution happens, everybody goes and rest there. Relatively speaking, we are all going off to sleep at night. When we go off to sleep at night, where are we all resting? Resting in the cell phone. And after having sufficiently rested, the thoughts manifest and again the whole samsara starts. So, Nidhihi. Nidhihi. Now, in fact, some acharyas, like, Adi Shankara, they make this 30th nama and 31st nama one. Nidhi Avyayaha. They do it together. Can be taken separately also, can be taken together. Avyaya means the imperishable. Nidhi means the treasure house. Imperishable treasure. If you put them together. Avyaya, Nidhi Avyayaha. And Nidhi separately resting place. Avyaya means the imperishable or unmanifest. The unchangeable. That's what Avyaya means. The manifested and the unmanifested, changing and the unchanging. So this unchanging resting place into which everything dissolves during Pralaya is called Avyaya Nidhi. Nidhi Avyaya. Then Sambhavaha. Sambhava means the source of birth. He is born in a suitable form by means of will. Now, again and again, I will take you back and forth to this Bhagavad Gita when we study these namas, because luckily we have studied the text. In the fourth chapter, he talks avatara rahasya. He says, whenever dharma declines and adharma takes over, sambhavami yuge yuge. Remember that word sambhavami. Here what is the nama? Sambhavaha. Sambhava means the source of birth. Sambhava means birth. Coming. Sambhava. Bhava. Sambhava. The source of birth. Manifestation. When do I manifest? He says, whenever adharma takes over dharma. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanihi bhavati. Whenever there is a problem for dharma. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. O bharata arjuna. Abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijami aham. Paritranaya sadhunam. Vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. To protect the sattvic people, paritranaya sadhuna. To protect sattvic people. Sadhus mean sattvic. Dharmic people. How do you protect dharma? By protecting dharmic people, you protect dharma. By protecting scriptures, you protect dharma. If you get rid of all this scriptures and rituals and all that, you forget about all that, dharma. See, many times, especially in our classes like what we are conducting, mostly we are discussing things intellectually. So in these kind of classes, many times what happens, even we in our class, we say, do not get into mechanical rituals. There seems to be a suggestion of putting down the rituals. No. That's why in our classes, I very consciously try to emphasize this fact. There is nothing wrong in rituals. Yes, of course, there are many superstitions that is mixed over a period of time. Like when Ganga Ma is flowing from Himalayas and she is flowing through various cities and villages. In between, you know, the factory waste and everything is going and mixing with it. But Ganga Ma is flowing from Himalayas. And in between, many things are mixing. Similarly, the spiritual practices conceived by the great master, they have been flowing. And in between, all nonsense, some people have mixed with it. That I agree. But per se, the rituals are very important. Only thing is, we should not do them mechanically. You chant Vishnu Sahasranama while watching cricket, T20 match. And you find that one fellow is playing a very bad shot and he is given a catch and is getting out the team that you are supporting. So as you are chanting Vishnu Sahasranama, you are hitting your head out. If you are going to do like this, it's wrong. But these rituals, especially in the formative years, when the children are growing up, when we teach them the shlokas, the mantras, we make them do certain pujas, we create those impressions in their head, not to condition them, not from that angle. Then when they become 13, 14, introduce them to these shastras, these texts. And when they start understanding the meaning, then you will see the child, when he or she grows up, the beautiful qualities flourish in them. Forgiving, you know, patience, especially in today's context, these qualities like patience, titiksha, which is endurance, putting up with inconvenience cheerfully, it's not this. People do not know what is titiksha. Everybody is in a hurry. Nobody can even relax for a second. So, these kind of qualities, forgiving, it's all gone. It's not there anymore. But these are the solid foundations of a human being. We don't understand the value of them. When we grow, when we lead our lives, then we understand. It takes a long time to understand. So therefore, the dharma will be protected when you protect these rituals. When you protect this shastras. So if you slight them, you know, if there are some nonsense mixed with it, this has to be dealt with properly. It has to be cleaned. I am not saying no. But if you say, what is there? Why don't you? Why do you have to celebrate that? You leave it only. If you do like that for everything, then slowly, slowly, it will be gone. Therefore, you need to understand some basic ritual practices has to be there. Whether it is Hinduism or Christianity or Islam or Buddhism or Jainism, every religion has its rituals. Religion will basically have these two, rituals and philosophy. And rituals for the masses, philosophy for those few who rise above those rituals and come to a little matured state, you give them the philosophy. So rituals are for purification. Rituals are for purification. It has to be done properly. So Sambhava, when he says, he is referring to manifesting, taking form at his own will. See, we have not taken form at our own will. We are the product of our vasanas. But when Mahavishnu takes avatara, he takes avatara according to the situation. In certain places, he has come out as, you know, Varaha avatara. Matsya, Kurma, Varaha. You know, so Kurma avatara is there. Varaha avatara is there. Kurma means the tortoise. Varaha, the boar. Narasimha avatara. But there are avataras like Rama, Lakshmana, who is born and growing. So basically what it means is, this theory, if you please understand correctly. From Ishvara, when you talk about Brahman as Nirguna Tattvam, you use the word Brahman. Brahman means Nirguna, no gunas, no qualities. But in that Brahman, the Shakti is potentially inherent. So when you talk about Brahman with that Shakti, Maya Sahita Brahman, you use a technical term for it called Ishvara. You don't say Brahman, say Ishvara. Ishvara means Maya Sahita Brahman. Brahman with Maya, called Maya Sahita Brahman. Then the Maya manifests as Hiranyagarbha, the subtle world. Then Hiranyagarbha further comes out as Virat Purusha, the gross world. This is how the whole universe has come from Brahman, and it's existing in Brahman and dissolves in Brahman. Now, we are all the beings that has come out. So we all come under the sway of Maya. Whereas Ishvara is this side of Maya. He controls Maya. Whereas we are controlled by Maya. To explain this, Swami Chinnanandaji gives a beautiful example. He says, once in the evening, a father and his young son, they were walking the road. And two policemen, they caught a pickpocket, they handcuffed him and they're taking him to the police station. The boy is asking, what is happening? Papa, why this fellow is being carried? Handcuffed and taken by the police. What is this? He says, no, he's a small time thief. Must have done something wrong. They caught him and they're taking him to the police station. So they have tied him. They are controlling him. After some time, the president of the country is going in his car. And before his car and behind his car, fleets of police cars are going. So the son says, Papa, Papa, bada chor ja raha hai. Because this is a small time chief, a thief, two policemen escorting him. And here, four, five cars before and four, five cars behind. Must be bada chor. Police is escorting before and behind. So he says, bada chor. For which the father corrects immediately. No. Not bada chor, Baba. He's the president of this country. He controls these policemen. Policemen don't control him. Whereas, in the case of the thief, he is controlled by policemen. So we are all controlled by Maya. If we want to deal with Maya, we have to tie up with whom? We have to tie up with Ishvara, who controls Maya. This is a beauty. If we want to get out of Maya, we should hold on to Lord. That's why we have to hold on to the Lord. When we hold on to the Lord, Maya, who is subservient to the Lord, we will be able to rise above Maya. Without holding on to the Lord, if you try to fight with Maya, you will not be able to work. Maya will finish you. This is what is happening to us. That's why it's essential for us to keep in touch with the Lord. See, every time when Swamiji comes to Delhi or we go to the ashram or anything like that, in the end, you know, if he comes to the city, Delhi, and he gives his lectures and goes back, go to meet him and say bye to him, he'll say, keep in touch. Similarly, when we go to the ashram, and then we leave the ashram after a few days or stay, we go and take his blessings and we leave, he says, keep in touch. He will always say this, keep in touch, keep in touch, keep in touch. Not because he is feeling lonely. He's saying, please send WhatsApp message every day. He is not feeling lonely. Keep in touch. When you keep in touch with these masters, it elevates you. It uplifts you. It protects you and helps you to raise. For your good, you got to keep in touch. And when we don't keep in touch, we lose. That's why I say, every time you travel also, do you, like you pack everything with you in the luggage, do you also keep your Bhagavad Gita book? Do you also take that and understand that? It's also something, it's a daily routine, it's a part of my life. You don't forget to take your jogging shoes. You don't forget to take your yoga mat. What about Bhagavad Gita book? What about scriptures? What about the daily practice of studying the scriptures? What about that? Nobody cares. You leave it. When you leave it, it is not the loss of the scriptures. It is loss for us. That's what we need to understand. So Sambhava means he controls Maya and takes the form to protect Dharma. It's called Sambhava. Sambhavami yuge yuge sambhava. I come out. Controlling the Maya. Controlling the Maya, I take form. For what purpose? To protect dharma. So that's called sambhava. One who takes up by his own free will various incarnations for the glory of the world. It's called sambhava. Is the explanation given for the term sambhava. Sambhavami yuge yuge. So Ishvara controls Maya. We are controlled by Maya. By controlling Maya, whenever required, it manifests, etc. That's the theory. Called sambhava. Next, bhavana. Bhavana is the next nama, which means the effector, the one who effectuates the fruits of action among the jivas, says Adi Shankara. Adi Shankara's explanation for this nama, bhavanaha, is from him the fruit, as it is reasonable, as the effector of all results. What it means is the one who gives the results, bhavana, one who gives. To do bhavana means to give. One who gives everything to his devotees. Hey, if you follow dharma, the fruit you get will be according to that. If you don't follow dharma, the fruit you will get will be according to that. And why you get that fruit? Why you get that fruit is also to throw the line of dharma. For your good. See, discipline, when we come under the discipline, it helps us. When we say hell with discipline, it's a problem for us. Lakshman Rekha, you know. When Sitama crossed it, she got into trouble. If she had not crossed it, she would have not got into trouble. We all do this. We all cross the disciplines. You cross the disciplines, you suffer. Constantly, if you are indulging, whether it is food or whether it is seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. What will happen? With children, you know, nowadays they keep the phone and then going on, watching all these videos or playing games. And they have problems. They have eye problem. They have sleeping problem. As a result of sleeping problem, they have all other problems. And because they are so addicted to these videos and these, what do you call these games, they don't eat properly. And they have all kinds of problems because of this. Because the discipline is not there. So bhavana, he gives such results. For what purpose? To discipline ourselves. In fact, one gentleman here in Tamil Nadu, he gives lectures in Tamil, beautifully talks. He once, when he addressed all the diabetes, the diabetic patients, you know, he said, when your sugar level goes up and you say, oh, you've got diabetes now, please understand, it's not a disease, it's a blessing or a caution. Because the moment now you got diabetes, at least now you start walking. At least now you start consciously eating. Now you consciously start controlling your lifestyle. So, it's a caution or a warning given by the Lord to us to now bring our life under our control. You can look at it like that. So earlier you didn't have any diabetes, nothing. Okay, you indulge. But that doesn't mean you indulge, but you indulge. But now at least you be careful. Because if you continue, then your kidney will be gone or your other, some parts of the other will go and then you will go, you will suffer. The quality of life will become poor, you will suffer and you finally anyway, anybody has to go. But then suffering you will go. So bhavana, one who affects the effect on people, called bhavana, he effectuates the fruits of action among all jivas. The explanation given by Adi Shankara. And so when he gives, you know, this, what do you call the negative results, it's not that he is interested in giving. Why is he giving? To correct ourselves. To explain that, I gave all the examples of diabetes and all. So at least after getting this diabetes and everything, we should think and then become disciplined. We will not. We would rather take 2 tablets and then be indisciplined. You think tablets are there for us to become indisciplined? This is the problem with the mind. Next nama is Bharta. Bharta. Bharta means provider, supporter. Provider, supporter. One who governs the entire living world. Can you imagine the number of herbivorous animals versus the carnivorous animals? Number of vegetation versus herbivorous. Who is maintaining all this? You, for survival, you need vitamins, minerals, protein. Everything is already provided. It's already there. So, Bharta. Then, Prabhavaha. One who is the very womb of all these five elements. Prabhavaha. Prabhava. The birthplace of all the elements. He is the source. Prabhuhu. Prabhuhu means the Lord, the most powerful. Lord meaning he lords over everything. These things do not lord over him. If you see in our case, we are all controlled. What are you from morning till night you are running around? Make money. Buy more land. Buy more properties. Buy this thing. Buy that thing. So what is happening? You are controlled by these 5 elements. Prabhu means he controls the 5 elements. What Prabhu means? Ishwaraha. One who has the ability to do anything without the help of the other beings. It's called Ishwara. Self-dependent. Not dependent on anybody for anything. That is called Ishwara. Absolutely independent. His might is unlimited. He is the master of all. That's what Ishwara means. Ishwaraha. The 36th Nama. Ishwara means Lord. Ishwara means one who is the master of the Maya. One who controls Maya. One who is not controlled by Maya. Ishwaraha. The Lord. Absolutely powerful. The mighty. And there is nothing beyond Ishwara. He controls. Ishwara also means the Lord who controls the laws of this universe. This entire universe. Beautifully, you know, the earth is revolving. All the planets are hanging there. They're not touching each other. Little bit if they touch, what left? Who's making sure that they don't touch with each other? Ishwara. But Nama Ishwara, if you understand, you will say, yeah, above us, there is this Ishwara. Why should I go against him or the power? I rather abide by the laws. So Ishwara. Ishwara means the Lord, the ruler, the controller of laws. So the laws themselves are Ishwara. So when you see this world governed by law of gravity and so many laws are there, to understand that is Ishwara. Lord is manifested as these laws. So we'll stop with this Nama, 36th Nama, Ishwara. Now, 10 minutes we have. If you have any questions, you can ask.
Guruji, yesterday I was at the bank, being about general only, that this lady, whether it's factual or not, I don't know, but like, you know, she was becoming old and she had some heart problem, and then she asked her children, you know, she could come and stay with them, none of them agreed. Then she by chance bought a lottery ticket and won it. And she won it, so then she decided that she wasn't going to tell her children. So for 1 year they didn't even bother to speak to her, ask her anything. And she went, traveled around, you know, enjoyed herself. Health also became better. She became better. But then by chance one child went to meet her and she had sold her house. She was traveling, whatever reason. my question, and then, you know, then they were very upset that she had an infarct, you know, that she's won the lottery. My question is, I mean, when she wanted the help related to what I said last week, when she wanted the help, then they weren't there for her. Now that she had money, they all wanted her to, you know, become Paddy, or they wanted to become Paddy with her. So, I mean, was she correct in not getting them involved?
Absolutely, she has no obligation.
Yeah, but then she, like, then she came to know, that's what they said, when she came to know that, you know, they're upset. She also got upset and health deteriorated.
But it's because of her attachment.
How to
the
get
problem,
out
of
this? How to get out of this?
How to get out, there are two things. One is temporary, one is permanent. Permanent is what we are doing. If you become strong, you will get out. So for example, if you generally follow discipline, eat healthy, sleep properly, and don't develop ill feelings for other beings, when you live like that, your immune system will be very strong. Corona will not be able to do much to you. Still, Corona may do something. That's a different thing. But you have done your best to keep yourself strong. Right? And then, when this vaccination comes, you take all that. But if you don't follow any of these disciplines in life, but you do not want to be affected, it's not possible. So, you have to follow for the body certain disciplines, for the prana certain disciplines, for the mind certain disciplines, for the intellect certain disciplines. Just like how you have healthy food, you should also consume healthy thoughts every day in proper dosage, reflect, make yourself strong. Then you will not be attached. Right? And when some situations, because they are your children, you do find yourself getting attached, you need to analyze and get out of it. But if you don't do it, you will be suffering. First of all, many people react out of anger. She said, I don't know whether it's out of anger. I will not tell them. Out of anger. If you ask me, are you obligated to tell them? No, you're not. You're not obligated to tell them. And grown-up children, they were not ready to take care of you when you needed help. It's okay. Now you don't have any obligation to tell them when you won the lottery. Okay. But did you do that out of anger? It seems out of anger she did this. And when they got upset, she got upset because of her attachment. So she is suffering because of her attachment, not because of the behavior of the children. Behavior of the children is one fact. But the suffering is because of her attachment to her children. See, the fact is Delhi is hot. The fact is Delhi is cold during winter. But you get affected when you get attached to it. And then you don't want Delhi to be cold, don't want Delhi to be hot. Aray, yaar, Delhi will be cold, Delhi will be hot. You cannot do anything about it. If you are attached, you will suffer. If you are not attached, you will not suffer. Okay, you will take care. In winter, you need to wear clothes accordingly. You will wear clothes accordingly. You will not be constantly complaining. So if she is suffering, it's because of her attachment to her children. End of the day, it's our selfishness. My child. My. My is the problem. Nobody came for my rescue. So why should I tell them? That's what initially is. Then my children are angry with me. So what do I do? My. My is the problem. It's just incredible. To find out, it's not easy. You can keep on talking about attachment, but it will not go. It will only go when you gain knowledge. See, let's say somebody has only one child, one son or daughter, whatever. and he or she is a highly drug addict. Whatever best they tried, they could not get him out of it. Still, all their wealth, they'll give it to him only. I'm not suggesting give it to your neighbor. This is attachment. They will know that if I give this wealth to him, he's only going to use it to buy those drugs and destroy himself more. But they will still give him only. They will not be able to give it to anybody else. This is their attachment. That's how it functions. That's how attachment functions. It's so difficult. You can only get rid of attachment when you gain knowledge. To the extent you have digested knowledge only, you can deal with attachment. Otherwise, you cannot. No other questions? Let's conclude the class. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamodachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Vadyatmanava Prakate Swabhava Romi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami.